there, handyman folks. This is show number 4, just for purposes of identification. My name is Phil Parr, and this is a little program that we call The Blind Handyman. The Blind Handyman. With me today is Don Shaw. Donald?
And how are y'all doing this afternoon?
Don Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Except what if it's not afternoon? That'd be the only...
Well, some places it's not afternoon.
Some places it could be afternoon. Tom Houston is with us.
How are you?
Tom, I just got a new computer, and I really haven't gotten on the internet with it. Houston is sitting here running the board for us.
I have 22 days left to register XP.
To register XP. Now, this computer of yours has... Can be augmented up to a gig of RAM. Is that what you...
4 gigs of RAM.
Get out of town.
It has 4 little slots for memory.
Shaw, we might as well sell our little...
Boy, that's no lie.
Computers.
Upgradable to 4 gigs of RAM. It really is.
Good what God. A deal.
I'd have to do it just to see, wouldn't you?
Man, it would be quick.
I really have no use for 4 gigs of RAM.
Really. You don't. How do you know you don't have 4 gigs of RAM?
Well, no, but I have my little 256. I think I am going to go to 512 pretty soon.
512, and it has a 40-gig hard drive.
Yes, sir.
And the we discussed what's the chip it has.
It has the XP 1800 Athlon.
And that's ready AMD. At what clock speed?
That's 1.53 gigahertz.
So, Tommy has the fastest computer of all of us.
We out of the little group, I do, yes.
Fastest on the block.
There's a lot of faster computers out there, of course.
We kind of not compete for that, but we kind of think about that. Like my wife has a computer, and Don Shaw has a couple, and you have a couple now, and I've got one. I've got a couple, I guess, if you got the studio. It's a poor lame, it's a 600 megahertz chip out here.
Yeah.
The one here in the studio is just pretty lame.
You have to remember now that I've stayed with Windows 95 longer than anyone.
That's true.
I've had Windows 95 since the mid-90s.
And you had that 200 megahertz. I mean, this guy's going from a 200 megahertz computer to a 1.4.
Yeah, what is it?
1.53.
Pardon me. I'm so sorry.
And don't you forget it.
We are missing Don Pat today. We have some things that we recorded last week that we didn't get time to use that we're going to play toward the end of the show that he's on. But his mother is not feeling well, and she's a little under the weather, so he's kind of nursing, playing nurse. He and Miss Emily are being... nurse to her. And Don's got his first CD writer. Is that that's you've written
yeah.
your, you did your first bit of CD writing this
writing
week,
those CDs, boy.
You know, it's stealing those tunes from those folks on the internet.
Ah, the old internet. Tom, Mr. Tom, that'll be probably your next big thing you'll get into, won't it? Will be CD burning.
Exactly. I do have a writer now. So.
Ripping tunes off the internet.
Well, what a deal.
We are going. I'm planned to talk in the second portion of the show about faucets and stems and seats and washers and replacing that
kind of thing. What happened?
Oh, okay. That was me.
Fiddling around
here.
Turned my mic off.
Sorry
what
about
is,
that.
I thought Patterson was running the board. Anyway, faucets and stems and things of that nature in the second part of the show. And Don, you want to talk about what?
Since it's the hot part of the summer, at least in our part of the world, I want to talk about air conditioning and just the importance of good maintenance and keeping your system clean.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things we really didn't get into about...
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Cleaning. And the cleaner it is... And the more efficient it is,
and it'll save you that dollar on that electric bill.
It's supposed to. We're going to do some finding out about that when we get this month's electric bill, which may have already come in. I don't know if she was going to pay bills, but ours was astronomical last month, and so we cleaned the drains. And I actually, I hate to admit this, but I called somebody. Because I wanted my coil looked at, I wanted somebody to look at the coil, and I called. But anyway, we'll
sometimes
talk about
you got to do it.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm not pointing blame fingers at anybody, but for some reason we were on in our regularly scheduled time last week, and I don't know whose fault that is. Of course, it's Snowbarger's fault, but I don't know whose fault it is. But it must be his. Got to be Snowbarger's fault since he was in charge, and Jonathan wasn't even there. You can't blame Jonathan now, can he?
Snowbarger,
that's one.
The man with the controls last week.
You know what Snowbarger needs to do, and I need to email him. He needs to do us a promo.
Yep.
In his inimitable with hefty genitals. And remember this? Did you ever listen to his show where he did hefty genitals on
the? Never did.
On his show, it's pretty funny.
It maybe must be archived somewhere, or maybe not, huh?
I think on www.snow. Anyway, it's probably archived. He'll tell us. Maybe we'll call him next week. Maybe he can do us a promo and that kind of thing for not putting us on Monday night. We weren't on Monday night, so our email was wanting.
Yep.
Not a whole lot to read this week.
That's right. All right.
But we did get one here. We got a couple.
One email poured right in.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, this one says, "Hello, guys. Congratulations on another good show last evening. I believe what you're doing is very much needed in the blindness community. I appreciate you having me on as a guest, and I'm looking forward to being on again. Perhaps I might be able to be a frequent guest, giving updates on the progress of restoration on the house, progress on putting together my shop, the tools I already use and will be using, etc. I still have much to talk about. I feel that I just scratched the surface last night. I'd be interested in knowing what your listeners had to say about the show." And let me scroll down a little bit because I enlarged it. "Again, great job. Looking forward to being on the air again. Perhaps next time my neighbor can join us as well. Mm-hmm. He can give some insights to what it's like working with someone who is blind and how he has helped me. And this is thanks much from Charles." Is it Reichardt?
I believe it is Reichardt.
I said it right. What do you know?
Yeah. Got it.
Got to hear Jaws pronounce it. You know, that Don had suggested the same idea, that we have him on as once a month as a continuing guest with the theme of maybe Stuart Hamlin's "This Old House." Whatever that song. Play that every once in a while and have him on as a guest. And I think, really, having his sighted neighbor on would be a good idea. Someone looking at someone helping.
Oh, I do too. Be a fine idea.
You know David Smith. We saw him the other day.
Yeah.
David Smith was really taken when he first met me, the fact that I was blind. And after about three or four meetings with him, I finally said, "David,
what in the world?"
All right.
Turned. What was that? Now what was that?
I don't know. I'm moving over here.
Oh, man, it was. I thought the compressor had come on.
It almost had the same tone as the compressor, didn't it?
Well, all AC hums are B-flat. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
no.
You can tune your guitar by little things you wouldn't know if you didn't. Anyway, I think having Charles's neighbor on as a guest, we've got something loose somewhere, don't we?
I think, now, that was my chair, I believe. I just moved a little bit.
Well, your chair is not wired to anything, hopefully.
The old electric chair.
Hopefully. Right.
Having his neighbor on.
There it is.
We may have to stop and figure
front
out.
Front and center. Boy.
I don't know what that could be.
I wonder what that is. Let me reach under here and see if I see.
These technical problems, boy.
That's coming from Houston.
Okie doke.
Technical problems.
Temporary technical problem.
Why don't you just push stop on the DAC and let's figure out what that is and continue. Just push. We found the hum and we lost a minute, so we need to remember we lost a minute. That's some speakers that I have run through a really poor piece of equipment that needs to be replaced, but my wife just won't let me replace everything at once. She's funny like that. Anyway, having his neighbor on would be a good idea. Having someone, and David, I finally told David, I'll be glad when you get over the fact that I can't see, when the most important thing about me is not the fact that I'm blind.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept mentioning, how do you do that? You're blind. Well, hell, I do it I just do it.
Just do it. That's
been
it.
Doing it a long time.
You got it. Yeah, a lifetime even.
That's right.
Let me tell if you don't mind, a little quick. I don't know if I showed you this. I cut my little finger.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't show Shaw this shelf. I built a shelf over the bar.
Over that bar. I'll have to check that out.
Just out of LPS. There's nothing to it. I just cut some trim. I cut trim on the table. So, this was a big, long LPS board, so I had to cut the end of it off. It was 8 feet long, so I cut the end of it off. It needed to be 6 feet long. I cut some trim to go on the front. I cut a piece of trim to go on the front, ran it through the router first, and then cut it on the table saw. I did all this. I used the chop saw a dozen times. I used the table saw 4 or 5 times. I used the router. Fine. Put the shelf up that morning. Moving a tape recorder, I cut my finger that afternoon.
God, what a deal.
Now, what a stupid... I mean,
what kind of deal is that?
Not a blade, not a thing touched me in the shop that would... in all kinds of whirling machinery that could that could hurt you. And I was moving one of the old reel-to-reel tape recorders to a closet. We have a heated and cool closet right off the carport. And I got my finger between the metal rod, the clothes hang on, and the tape recorder and cut the devil out of my...
Whoa. That and, just hurts know, thinking about
that
it.
That just shows you, of course, safety first in your shop, always safety first.
Yep. Yep.
And by the way, man, one more little thing. There was a good, and I meant to get this on email. There was a wonderful thing done in 1962 that was reprinted in Dialogue magazine this month about safety in your shop, and it talked about some of the same things. And this guy had a great idea, Shaw.
Ooh, we need to get that whole article on the show.
I do. I meant to call her and get her to email that so Tom could read it. But let me tell you this. He said this guy was talking about if you want it, here's a way to drive a nail straight.
Huh.
What you do is take a long piece of wood and cut some notches in the side of it with a drill bit. I thought actually run a drill bit through it. And then you put the nail down through the hole that's in this little small piece of wood. Are you with me?
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
So you drive the nail into the other piece, and of course by the time you assume you wouldn't put it in a hole that would be too big.
That's
for
right.
The head.
Yeah.
The notches would be better if you had a head with a nail with a big head on it. So just put this in the notch, drive it down, then move the board, and by that time it's down far enough that you're not going to bend it.
You know, that is a fine
That's
idea.
That's a great idea.
That is a fine idea.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I have trouble driving nails myself. So.
That's why I bought a nail gun. That's another thing I used and didn't, you know, no problem.
But that notch idea for hand nailing,
yeah,
you know, is real good.
It'd be a good thing.
Excellent.
All right, we killed enough time. You want to talk about air conditioner maintenance, sir?
Oh, might as well talk about air conditioner maintenance for a little while.
All right.
But like we were saying, that keeping your system clean, I guess, and keeping the filter changed. Are some of the two best maintenance things, I guess, that you can do on your unit. Really, don't they recommend pretty much changing your filter, at least in the heavy seasons, pretty much once a month? Is
yep.
that what you heard?
I would think at least once a month.
At least once a month. On me, what I do is every month when my electric bill comes,
Now
I don't have a throwaway filter. I just take my filters out and clean them and put them back once a month when the bill comes.
They come in both styles.
That way I can remember to do it.
Yep. That's what I was just, that was the next thing I was fixing to say. When your bill comes on the 3rd of the month, on the 1st of the month, on the last day of the month.
Change that filter.
Get you a routine of changing that filter, keeping that filter clean. And I'm like you, Tom. They, you know, you can buy the 79-cent just cardboard filters in the store, and then you can buy the filters with the baffle things in them,
mm-hmm.
which are a little bit more expensive. Then you can buy the good filters that you clean. And
well, my only comment about the ones that you clean is they restrict your airflow more than
I've heard the same thing
more than the others do. Now I don't know, but his. He's got so much air moving in his house. Houston does.
You could hang meat in
you
my
could,
house.
You could, man. It's. I mean, I don't. You know, I don't think there's any restricted airflow in his house. But the only one I've ever seen, well, I got one with a. I put another vent in this building. After I built this building, I put a vent in the booth in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got a filter with the vent I bought, and it was one of those. Throwaway, I mean, cleaning, not throwaway, but one of those that you clean.
Yeah.
And it restricted the airflow.
Yeah.
So I put another one in there immediately. You know me. But yeah, keeping.
The 79-cent throwaway filters, to me, work as good as any. They collect the dirt, they're cheap, you just chunk it and go on to the next one.
And changing your filter is not rocket science.
Yeah, nothing to it. Just.
You need to know where your return air is. And go ahead. You want to describe it?
Yeah. And just when you find your return air, of course, in a house or mobile home or, you know, different air conditioning systems, you know, have all different configurations. But basically find your return air vent.
It's going to be down at the floor.
Usually at the floor. But I've seen them yet in mobile homes that are up. Oh, head high or so.
I have too.
And then actually the filter is kind of underneath the vent running, what, horizontally?
Hmm.
Mine's off the floor, and I live in a mobile home.
Now, yours is where off the floor?
Mine's about 3 feet off the floor on an inside wall.
Okay, but your vents come up through the floor.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's the difference.
Okay. Yeah.
In a mobile home, if the vents came up through the floor, then they'd want to put the You wouldn't want to put the return air right there on the floor.
No.
Although I don't really see why not. But anyway, I guess you wouldn't to get some separation.
To get some separation. That's right.
Okay.
But all different configurations in those. So you just have to look for your return air vent, and you'll find your filter. And change it.
Has to be done. Also, every couple of years, you may think, excuse me, that your air conditioner's working right, but that if you have the grass cut, you're going to have grass clippings and you're going to have stuff in your big unit outside. So either if you're really brave. What's wrong with this? I must have got Patterson's radio. If you're really brave, it was $50, but I bought a deal of stuff that you mix 1 to 9 with water, and they say not to leave it on your coil over 5 minutes. So it would be some stout.
Pretty stout.
And you just put it on the coil, and then you spray them down with a water hose, and keep that outside unit clean. Keep bushes away from the outside unit.
Bushes,
keep
trees.
Furniture away from the return air or any vents that you have.
That's right.
And your air conditioner.
But if you don't let it go so long before you clean the outside, you know, really, if you do it every spring or every other spring.
Every 3 years, I think it'd probably be all right on the outside.
Yeah, every 2 or 3 years on the outside. But always, before we get any further along with this, always shut off your breaker first, or at least in the city. City code, I think, requires you to have a breaker box at the outside unit.
It does.
Where you've either got a little quick disconnect that you pull out or a breaker switch, either way.
On mine, it's a little door that you open that you could lock. It's a little door that you open, and in there, inside there, is a breaker.
Yeah.
Is it a pull out quick
disconnect? Ours has a pull out quick disconnect, I think, because when we got our new unit, I think they put that in. So it could be either way.
So the code may have changed.
I don't know if it changed or it's just because we have a newer unit that they might have just started putting those in the last 3 or 4 years. I'm not sure, but city code that you got to have one or the other type outside. So.
By the physical unit out there that you...
By the physical unit itself. Yeah. That's right.
And I found the easiest way, if you've got a filter like I've got, one that you can clean and put back in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The easiest way to clean that thing, as far as mine is concerned, when I first moved into the mobile home, it's a 99 model, and I moved into it in 99. Mm-hmm. And I tried taking it to the shower and washing it out. I tried going outside with a hose and washing it out with a hose and water.
Is he going to tell us to run it through the dishwasher?
No. The easiest way I've found is to take the handle of the broom off, go outside, and just brush it off, and it'll come right off on both sides.
If you have a broom with a handle that screws in.
Yeah. Uh-huh, just unscrew the handle, take your little broom just like a brush, and brush it off.
Brush it off dry.
And yeah, just brush it off dry, and it comes right off.
Because once you get that stuff wet, you'd have a muddy...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had
mud up to my elbows, you know, the first time.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a good suggestion. Tom.
It is.
Real good.
So use a broom with a handle off.
We're cleaning those filters, boy.
All right. Air conditioners we talked about. When we come back, we'll talk a little about faucets, and if you got a drippy faucet, or if you have one that's doesn't stop when you turn it off, or those kind of things. So if you have that kind of problem, stay tuned, and even if you don't, maybe you learn something. Be back in a minute. This is the new 96.3. I'm sorry, wrong.
wrong promo, huh? Wrong
we promo. Wish.
We wish. We're, someday we'll tell you all that story. It, you know, we'll get into that. We'll get into that some other time. You're listening to The Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Phil Parr, and you're...
Don Shaw.
And you're...
My name is Tom Houston.
Before we get any further along here, let's give our email address, Mr. Tom.
Okay. Email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
All right.
That's blindhandyman@hotmail.com. And should you have a comment about the show, anything we should discuss on the show, or just... want to drop us a line? We don't care. It's blindhandyman@hotmail.com.
Send that email.
Yes. You don't really realize how much that would, I mean, you know, we spend our time and we don't get paid for this. Absolutely don't. And if we do long distance, it's we pay for the long distance and we're using my studio, Don Shaw. Checking the email and Tom Houston Shaw is running the board and we don't get paid a dime for this. We do this because we think it's a good deal, and I've been on the radio 40 years. I really don't need to be on the radio. I'm not looking for glory or anything else, and none of y'all are. We've all, you know, so we just think it's a good thing to do. And email means a lot to us, is my point. So if you're listening and you have a computer, email us, okay?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, did I get that across?
Boost our egos.
Boost it. That's a whole point. Boost our little fragile little egos. We want to talk a little bit about faucets and Pharaoh faucet. I know a joke, but I won't. I spend all the money. My thinking, of course, as you guys know, is to know a joke about every subject. And, of course, I know a joke about faucets. But anyway, you look at a faucet, you turn the handle, you turn it one way and it comes on and gives you water, and you turn it the other way and it clicks or it goes, it tightens back up and it stops giving you water.
Hopefully it does,
but many times it doesn't. But if that faucet keeps dripping or keeps running water when you turn it to the off position, the first thing to remember is absolutely don't try to force it off tighter. You should turn a faucet off good and tight, but don't attempt to force that faucet tighter because you may. Have you ever done that? Seem like I've done that. I'll turn this sucker off, good buddy.
It could happen, boy.
And all of a sudden, you've broken the stem and water's going sky high.
Big trouble.
And you better know where the off valve is somewhere.
Before you start turning them off too tight, you need to figure out where the valve is to cut it off. And if it is a sink application, like a wash basin in a bathroom or a sink in the kitchen, usually under that, if you find that faucet and find where it is, you trace it down, you'll find a valve, a cutoff valve underneath it. Isn't that usually the rule of thumb? That's been the way it was since I was a kid.
And like Don said, if you keep the faucet, the shut-off valve sprayed with WD-40, it might be real easy to turn off. Of course, if you don't, you may have to use a bit of a problem if it's been on for 10 or 15 years.
Well, I'm not a big WD-40 fan. I like this. I found something better called LPS. It's a little more expensive, but man... It works. So anyway, spray it with some sort of lubricant.
You can buy this at your local hardware store, I guess, this LPS?
Yeah, you can buy it at Abney's. Abney Daniels. That's Abney Daniels Hardware Store, Gaslight Plaza, Lufkin, Texas. Wonder if I'll get a free piece of candy next time.
Good question.
Abney Daniels. Anyway, yeah, you can buy it there. You know, when I was a kid, my mother always had... And my daddy did too. Always had an oil can with what they called machine oil.
Machine oil. I hadn't thought about that in a while.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Machine oil. Dad's was a round can with a long spout on top, and you'd put it in, you'd pop the bottom.
Yep.
And it would pump. Mama had a little can that she kept close to her sewing machine, a little flat can of machine oil.
Machine oil.
And you'd put that machine oil. Boy, my daddy probably hated me because. Son, do you know where the oil can is?
Well, Dad, as a matter of fact, I do. I think I may have borrowed it from you.
Anyway, spray that valve if it won't turn, and you can usually make them turn. I always forget which way they turn. Usually it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, though, isn't it?
Yep.
I think so in most cases.
Yep.
On those kind of things. Righty tighty, lefty loosey, that's a good thing to remember. You tighten the screw to the right. And
one way to kind of know the end of the valve, just to be sure, is the end of the valve. Don't you think kind of looks like a football shaped like thing?
It is. Yes, it is.
So, yep. Can't miss it. Hopefully.
And anyway, it'll be in the more modern houses, it'll be down at the end of a little flexible hose. In the older places, it'll be at the end of a piece of copper pipe. So you've got that cut off. Okay, so you find in the middle of that faucet, there is a screw. Now, that's not a rule of thumb. There may be a little cap in the middle of that faucet that you may have to take the tip of a screwdriver and pry off. Have you ever seen those?
Oh, mostly seen those. With that will probably be the rule of thumb.
Unless it's an outside faucet, I guess that's true. There's a little cap there. And you take that little, it's just a little center cap, and you can feel with your fingernail, if you look for what you're doing, you can feel the seam around that cap. And a lot of times you can pop it off with your fingernail. If not, the tip of a kitchen knife will do it, but a small screwdriver is the best thing to, and you just lift that off and put it in something so you don't
lose
put it.
It
in your pocket or put it in your I always put it in my shirt pocket and bend over and
yep.
You know,
it's history.
What happened to that? You know,
that's right.
You know, I'm getting so old. If I drop something, I look for it for a minute. If I can't find it, to hell with it. I just don't even. I don't care what it is. If I drop a screw, I used to, boy, I'd spend days looking for that. I don't even worry. I guess I'm getting old and affluent. I don't know what my deal is. Anyway, you pop this little cap off, and under that cap is going to be a screw, and more than likely, that's going to be a Phillips head screw. Would you say? Slide it
likely.
A Phillips head. So, you know, like we've talked before, Patterson was talking this morning. What we need to do is tell you the tools you need to do projects, but I didn't do that at first. So you need a Phillips screwdriver to do anything. You've got to have a few tools. You can't do this with a kitchen knife. Okay, so you take the screw off, and then you work the faucet. That only holds the faucet handle on. And so you work the faucet handle off. It may be, if it's been on there a while, it may take you both hands. You may have to move it back and forth, and you may actually have to get something and tap it just one time real quick.
And one more thought before we get away from this right here. I have seen it, though, before when the faucet has leaked and it's been on there for years when I just couldn't turn the screw, couldn't turn it enough and stripped out the head trying to get that screw out. It was rusted. And it was, I've seen that before.
Would you replace the whole faucet? Is that what you have to do?
Well, you're in trouble then.
Then you got bigger problems.
You got real problems. It may be time at that point to call someone.
It may be. Or, like you said, change the faucet. Just unhook the water, the lines from the faucet, and change the whole faucet.
Man, yeah,
faucets are cheap. Not cheap.
Oh, they're cheap.
Faucets and there's expensive faucets.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, sometimes you get down to where. But anyway, hopefully that won't be your problem. But I have done that. I've seen that before. So
I've never had that, but I'm sure it could happen. So the screw's rusted, and you just, by God, you lost the head.
On an old house.
One of the things you have to remember in screwdrivers, that in the slotted and the Phillips, more so in the Phillips, there's several different sizes of Phillips screwdrivers.
That's it.
So you may knock it off with one, and then you may find another size that fits it. So you need a set, I believe, of... If you're going to do this home maintenance thing, you've got to buy some tools.
You've got to have some tools.
If that happened to me, depending on where the faucet was, if it was a faucet up on a stem, you know what I'd do? I'd probably saw it in two. Well, if you could get to the packing nut, if you get to the nut under it, if it didn't fit down over the packing nut, which is the next thing you come to, if the packing nut was there, I'd just unscrew the packing nut.
And lift the whole thing out.
Yeah, and just lift the whole thing out and go. But anyway, assuming that you can get that faucet handle off, and you're just taking, all you're taking off is a faucet handle. Okay, so you've taken that off. Then you're down to what they call a packing nut. And the best thing to do this with, agree, disagree, is a close-in wrench or an open-in. The best thing to do is a wrench that fits it.
A wrench that fits it. That'd be the way to say it.
Do it with a wrench that fits it. Don't try to do it with a wrench that doesn't fit it. Now, I did the last one I did, and I got a little story to tell about this. Last one I did with a pair of vice grips because I did not have a wrench that fits it. But if you're going to do it with a pair of channel locks, and this is lefty loosey, righty tighty. I mean, it's when you put it on there, it's going to push. It's going to push to the right. The nut's going to turn to the left. The nut's going to turn to the left.
Yep.
So just remember that you're going to turn it. If you're looking straight down at it, you're going to turn it left. And you can do it with a pair of channel locks. You can do it with a plain old pair of pliers. But make sure if you do it with a pair of pliers that you've got those pliers on two of the flat sides of the hex nut. Because if you don't, you're going to screw the nut up.
Yep. And then you got more trouble.
Then you got more trouble. I did this last with a pair of ice grips, and I'll tell you that story in a minute. These faucets, have you ever looked at the faucets on my sink in the kitchen? The handles stick out left to right.
Yeah.
They're really standing. And I did it with a pair of ice grips because I looked and looked for a wrench, and the wrench I would have done it with, I forgot to mention, is a crescent, and my crescent wrench is frozen up.
Frozen.
My crescent wrench, you cannot adjust. It will not adjust.
Sitting out in the backyard too.
No, it has not been. It's in my shop.
WD-40.
Well, I tried that. I tried WD-40. I tried LPS, and I can't. Yeah, what I'd like to have, I believe if you had something that you could, a bucket of oil of some kind that you could dip it down in and just leave it.
That old machine oil, boy, that'd probably do it, huh?
Can you buy that by the quart?
I don't know.
Hell, I guess you can buy automobile oil by the quart. Anyway, my crescent wrench was frozen up, so I did the last one with a pair of ice grips, but I don't recommend that. You need a wrench to do that with, and I meant to buy one when I went to the hardware store to buy the stem. Okay, so then you take the stem out, and that's the actual faucet.
Yep.
I mean, that's the faucet. On the end of that stem, the bottom end of that stem, more than likely, there'll be a washer with a little screw in the middle of it. And that's what you need to replace, is that little washer.
That little washer can cause all that trouble, can it?
Oh, yeah. You need to take that stem with you. It's a small thing. If it's dirty and nasty, put it in a baggie and take it to your hardware store and tell the boy that you need, the girl that you need to replace washer on the end of that. You can't buy individual washers. They'll sell you.
I was just fixing to say that there's 5 jillion different kinds. Take the faucet,
take the stem with you because they'll sell you a little assortment of washers. Usually, this is in what they call builder's grade wash basin or sink, this is what you're going to have. It's just a standard washer with a screw in the middle of it. And once you've gone that far, if you've done that, the rest is a very simple process. Uh-huh. You take the old washer off and put the new slick pretty one on, screw your stem back in tight, and you pack a nut down, and you may buy a little plumber's grease and put around that stem where the packing nut goes and tighten it down real good, put your faucet handle back on, and bingo.
Bingo.
Oh, well, it still leaks, Mr. Parr. call the plumber. That washer fits in a thing called, they call it a seat, and it's brass, and it's very delicate, and you can mess it up, screw it up very easily. I was trying to be delicate there, but you can screw it up pretty easily. It's called a seat, and I've got a tool to remove those. It's a square.
It's a funny-looking tool.
It is.
You have one, Showboy, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've got one. It's L-shaped.
It's L-shaped, and it's square. And it doesn't cost much. They're $4, $5.
Yep.
And, the seat, it doesn't cost much. A little brass seat's not going to cost much. So you can, if the faucet is still leaking, now, if it's running, pouring water, then you may have done something wrong. If it's just dripping a little water, then the seat may be bad, at which point in time you have to start over. Take the faucet handle off, take the packing nut off, work the stem out, and then stick this auger. It's called an auger bit. You stick it down in there, and it's lefty, loosey, righty, tighty, the same thing.
Might it be better to pull it out while you're there and replace all
of it? Just replace the seat?
The stem and the seat at the same time? Would it be better to do that?
You could. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a bad idea. As long as you got it apart,
anyway. I guess.
As long as you got it apart, you might as well. I never do because it's a if doing mechanical things is difficult for you, yes, it would be. If it's a simple, if you,
a lot of times the gasket will be the problem only.
The washer?
Yeah, the washer. I mean,
yeah, most times.
Probably most of the time.
But it could be, you know, it could, I don't know.
Unless it's faucet's dripped a long time, the washer's chances are going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Depending on its age. But those seats are easy replaced. This tool is easily bought. You put it down in there. Is that thunder?
It sure is.
And you back off this, you back this seat off, and you unscrew it, and it's going to be on the end of the auger down there. So you push the auger down in there tight enough to where you can pull that seat out. Now, how much time we got?
We've got a couple of 3 minutes here.
I got one thing. Have you ever changed, you know, talking about changing faucets here, have you changed one of the faucets that has one handle on it? Have you ever done that? I've never done one of those. That's why I'm curious.
Oh, my heavens. I forgot all about those.
I wonder what kind of deal you would get into with that. You usually see those on the sink. Sometimes
I've
in
never
the
seen one of those. I've never been inside one of those.
I haven't either. I know it. I guess it's doable, but I...
But this is a deal that you see in hotels all the time. You pull it up, and you push it left for hot and right for cold.
Yeah. Same handle.
God almighty, I've never...
Wonder how that would work.
9-3-6-6-3-5
All these phone numbers, boy.
07. I don't know who that is. I have no idea. I forgot to turn the caller ID.
It's a mobile phone. We know that.
635 what?
I didn't get the last one.
It's a mobile phone.
And you can't see it there? Oh, you could see it. We'll talk about it.
No.
Anyway, yes, you can.
No.
Oh, that's a totally blind caller ID. That caller ID, I've got three or four of them. That can cost me.
Oh, yeah, this little one. Okay.
A blind ID.
Cost me $10. It's a blind talking caller ID.
Is it the little white box down here?
It's right behind it. See it right there? It's right.
Somewhere.
It's right in front of that speaker on your
right. Oh, okay.
See it there? We'll get to it.
Okay.
Anyway, I want to tell this. Those faucets, double faucets. I've never been in one.
Never have either.
I guess we need to buy one and see how they work.
See how it comes apart.
Now, yep. They look more complicated than the others.
They do.
I don't know if they would be, but they surely look more complicated.
Look like they would be.
Yeah, because I was just trying to think how they look.
I have seen those before on kitchen sinks, though, also.
I've seen
houses.
It at other people's houses. So. You'll never see one at my house. I hate the damn thing. I hate it.
Tell us what
it.
You mean.
Well, they could be in more trouble. But.
Man, I've seen them in every motel you go to now.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the bathroom. They're always in the bathroom.
Yeah.
In the bathtub.
Maybe they never leak. Maybe that's the deal.
They never leak. The faucet that never leaks.
Lifetime guarantee, boy.
Maybe you just replace the whole faucet. We also have tools for replacing the entire faucet set. You can reach up under the sink and turn the nut that's up under there. There's a name for that nut, and I can't remember
what
it is.
That's a good blind-friendly project right there. Just do the whole faucet.
Replacing the entire faucet?
That's right.
It can be done, and as a blind person, you can do it, and we'll discuss that. That would be another
follow-up show, wouldn't it?
Let me tell my story real quick. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I got into this faucet in the kitchen sink in there that Luann had to have. These side-to-side faucets, the handles are the other way. In other words, they don't lay up and down. They don't lay normally. They lay the faucet. The handles are on the end of the faucet. I took, and this is American. I think it's American standard stuff. They're going to sue me because I hate American standard. I hate it. You can't find it. You can't find it anywhere. It's expensive. I don't like it. Anyway, I took the stem out, and part of it didn't come.
Ah, no.
Yeah, there was something
good.
Left. It was
not
something left
good.
In there. And so I fooled with it a while, and finally I said, golly darn, heck fire, shoot bang, I'm going to call somebody. And I called somebody, and you know what he did?
What?
He borrowed a big wood screw from me. Cranked it down in there and pulled the deal out. It was plastic. He just got a great big wood screw. He had one, and I said, is that the
what
biggest?
What an idea.
I said, is that the biggest wood screw you got? And he said, yeah, you got one bigger? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. So I went to the shop, got him a great big long drywall deck screw.
Yeah.
He screwed it down in this plastic thing and simply pulled it out. Why didn't I think of that? I was with the needle-nosed players.
Yeah.
You know, and just, it would not, and he just screwed a screw down in there.
What an idea.
I'd already bought the stem. And I already bought the stem, new stem. Of course, the new stem wouldn't go. Is that our number?
All right, yeah.
All right, I'll go fix it. We're about on break. Anyway, and I had to call somebody. That's twice I've had to call someone, so I get some kind of an award or something.
Oh, someone of the week award.
Anyway, so okay. take a short break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Don, you want to talk about ovens for a few minutes?
Sure.
You want to get into that, or you want to talk about? Let's go ahead and talk about replacing the oven. Surely we got time. We'll time this later. It doesn't have to be exactly an hour. We'll figure out something.
And we can edit it down anyway.
We can if we have to.
I'm in the process of remodeling the entire house. I've taken it a room at a time. I think discussed that on our
Are you
show.
On mind your mic? By your mic?
Am I by my mic?
That's
okay.
Good.
And. So three things that are natural to replace if you're going to update your kitchen, and that is your cooktop, stovetop, vent hood, and oven. Or sometimes these are a combination of two, or like if you had a slide-in stove that has the oven and cooktop together. Or the vent hood microwave, or you can get a double oven, oven microwave. In my case, I have the vent hood combination microwave. A flat stovetop, and a built-in wall oven is what they're called. So we were talking about the hot water heater. The first thing you want to do in this case is, if you're going to take out an old one and replace it with a new, is go to your breaker box, find your 220 breakers, because these are all 220, and just flip. In fact, the best way, the safest way, if you know you're dealing with a 220 item, is just turn off every 220 breaker in your house. Now, sometimes you have a main breaker. My house is 30 years old. It does not. I'm kind of surprised. There's no main breaker that turns off everything. So, in this case, I flipped off. I actually turned the oven on and a burner on. 100 220 breakers, and I had someone in there watching, and they said, yeah, the light went off on the indicator light on the stovetop and the indicator light on the oven. Now, be careful. Your vent hood is 110, so these 220 breakers aren't going to cover it, and also turning off one, like the oven, if you think you've got the oven off, doesn't necessarily turn off the stove top.
Most times it wouldn't.
So you want to be sure that you've got them all off. And so, oddly enough, in my house, which I mentioned last week, the wiring's a little screwy.
Yep.
And the vent hood happened, the kitchen backs up to the garage, but when you flip off the garage breaker 110, that takes care of the vent hood. So briefly on the oven, the main thing you need in replacing an existing slide-in, a wall oven, is somebody to help you, because the thing weighs about 100 pounds, there, give or take, 90, 120, something like that. Four little screws. You usually open the oven door, and we're talking about a 24-inch wide oven. Now, this is the actual oven. The hole, the slide-in hole that it's going to come out of is somewhat smaller, maybe 21.
Yeah, because there's a lip around the edge.
Because there's a lip for all the decorative, the instruments and the dials and the gauges, the controls. And so you open you've turned off your breaker. You've isolated that. You know it's off. Then you go open the oven door. Stand straight in front of it. And there's usually going to be like top right, bottom right, top left, bottom left, four screws. And you, I'm not sure if mine, I think were Phillips, but whatever, straight edge or Phillips, and you take those out.
And the whole
thing. Then that oven is ready to come out. And then, after you've done that, then if you'll probably go, it's usually going to be mounted in a counter, in a place that underneath there's counter space, cabinet space.
Or drawers or something.
Or drawers, but normally it's probably going to be doors where the pots and pans or whatever. But anyway, you want to go down in there, find your little junction box if it's put in properly. And it's probably going to have a cover, probably two screws, and really you don't even have to take these two screws out, but if you'll loosen them or take one of them completely out, and this thing will swivel.
It sure will. Swivel
and,
down.
And it'll down. It'll and it opens up. Hello, we have an incoming call. Anyway, and so you...
we'll be with him.
I don't know who to put on hold here.
No, just answer that and tell him we'll be back. Go ahead, Pat.
Anyway, and so after you've got your junction box opened, what you're going to, normally you would look in there and you're going to see three connections, and if they've done it right, they're going to have scotch locks or wire nuts, as we call them on there. It's going to be, and this is all color-coded, but for a blind person, a totally blind person, you could, as you disconnect two wires, you could mark them with, like, you could take masking tape and you could put two rings around the first two wires, each wire, two pieces of tape. One under, not layered, but one under the other. And then on the first wire you disconnect, put one, and then two, however you choose to mark them. But you're really going to be dealing with a white wire, a black wire, and a red wire. And so you disconnect them, and then usually the wires are ran to the oven in conduit, a flexible conduit,
yep.
And that will easily slide out of that junction box, and so you're ready to remove the oven. And probably you'd want somebody to help you not only pick up the oven, if nothing else, if you can pick it up by yourself, you'd want somebody to grab that pigtail, these wires,
and pull them
through so they won't get tangled up. But anyway, you just lift the old oven out and whatever you do with it, and then you're ready to insert the new oven. And so you get the new oven in the slot, and in most cases... Say if you're up, in my case, I'm upgrading probably a 15-year-old wall oven, single oven. Like I say, they come in several styles. You have double ovens. That's one on top of the other. You have a microwave on top of another. In my case, mine is a single wall oven. Well, I have not opened up my new box, the one that new one in. But I'm taking out at least a 15 or 20 year old oven. So the most likely scenario here would be that I am going to have to put in a filler board at the top, or cut out something at the top, assuming this is not a perfect fit, which I really, in the real world, it may not be. I don't know. If it is, I'm lucky.
Yeah,
so at this point, when I took the old ones out, because I was painting and formicing and everything, so I'm ready for the new oven. So now I will put in the new oven, and then at that point I'll determine if I need to put in a new filler board. In this case, it would be at the top, because the oven is going to sit on the bottom wherever the old oven sat, and either it reaches, I would either have to cut out some or put in. And so then you slide the oven in, and then at this point you would wire it.
Well, first of all, feed that the oven's new wire
down.
Yeah,
it just goes down through the cabinet and then into the junction box. And like I say, in 220 wiring, color's real important. And probably what you're going to be confronted with, coming from your house, your existing wiring, you're going to have a red wire, a black wire, and a white wire. Coming from your oven, and so this won't confuse you, you're probably going to have four wires. You're going to have a red wire, a black wire, a white wire, and a green wire, one shielded in green, or either unshielded copper. Regardless of what you have, just color counts. Red goes to red, black goes to black, white would go to white, and the unshielded or the green wire would also go to white. What in 220 wiring, you have two hots, the red and the black, and then the white is neutral or a ground. And like I say, coming from your house, you probably don't have that fourth wire. So sometimes you have to put two wires on the white. But you make your connection, put your cover back on your little junction box, and use wire nuts. A lot of people like the tape, electricians tape and all that, but I'm telling you, wire nuts, they come in all sizes, and they're so simple.
Yeah, only way
to go. And really, in a proper way to put a lot of these wire nuts on is you don't have to twist the wires around each other. If you will hold the wires side by side and put the wire nut on, the wire nut is what twists.
Tighten it up. Twist the wires together.
That's the way to do it.
The
wire nut will twist them together.
It will twist the wires together.
That's its purpose. Yeah, that's what
it does. Work.
And optimally, you would want to not have take off so much insulation. You want your wire nut to cover up all of the existing exposed copper wire.
So take off a half an inch.
Yeah,
of insulation
it's only a half an inch
on that room.
And then after you get your connection made, and this would apply, like say, to your vent. I mean, your stove top too. Sets in a different way. It just sets in there. But I mean, the connections are going to be the same. We're talking 220. And then when you've got your oven and you've put in your filler board or cut out what you needed, and then in the top right, bottom right, top left, and bottom left, you've got
four screws.
Yep. And even if they don't go back in the same holes, because if you've had to make some filler board, there was board on the edge, and some of these are self-starting screws, but if not, you might want to take a little, small drill bit, go in that little hole, drill your little place. But most of these are going to be self-tapping.
Put the screw in, tap it gently with a hammer, and start turning it. And it'll go in. Unless you're in maple or oak, you're okay.
A lot of people think this is a really complicated project. It's not. It's simple. The biggest thing you need, like I say, is someone to help you lift the old one.
I've got a question.
You've got to have somebody to help you do that.
Yes, Don.
Okay. I've never done an oven. I've done a stovetop, but have never done an oven.
Mm-hmm.
And question is, okay, you got this brand new oven sitting in your garage. You're ready to take it out of its box.
Uh-huh.
Now, it's going to have the conduit and wire already coming out of the new oven, right?
Where were you when we changed the oven at Norris Street?
I wasn't there that day.
But somebody helped me.
I wired it.
When Tom lived at Norris Street, we changed the oven over there.
Yeah, it wasn't me. And that oven's still working good. Now, that's not a blind-friendly oven, but that's a good oven. It's still working good today.
I bought it because of Rent House. Rent House, then I, of course, bought the cheapest one you could buy.
Anyway, what was your question,
good oven. That was my question. Our comment, really, was just about the conduit and the wire coming out of the back of the oven.
The pigtail, you call it a pigtail, and it's already attached.
That's good.
It's flexible. And then there is a clamp that usually attaches it to the junction box, but there's no pressure on this. And most of the ones I've seen, they just, the hole, that this junction box is kind of octagon shaped.
Yep.
Sometimes it's round, but
and you
most
put
of them
the wire, put the thing, the hose,
the whole pigtail
down
and
through
that,
the top
to
thing,
the top of
and
that hose, and
then
wire.
Together.
Yeah,
same type of junction box under your stovetop. Also,
right. If you know about a different kind and a different way to do this, please email
us.
And let, we didn't really spend probably enough time on this, but we will.
Boy,
I don't know where we are. See, so it's.
We don't have a clue. Do
it's scared today.
I believe we're over.
What I'll do is take the brakes out. If I
definitely
I
over.
Dump it to another dad and take the brakes out.
Or save this part for another show.
Okay. We
this
can
show was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
They're all pre-recorded. Anyway, email address is
blindhandyman
at
hotmail
dot
com.
And if you're listening, please email us and let us know. And we'll clap our little handyman hands.
And if you've bought an old house, keep it to yourself.
No, let us know. Whatever you're doing, whatever kind of project you got, let us know. If you have a question, we'll try to. And for the guy who couldn't keep his connection connected, clean your cache in your computer, and your computer will probably stay connected.
Yep.
That's Phil Parr's computer tip for the day.
Computer tip of the day.
Thank you, gentlemen. Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston.
Bye.
I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week on the Blind Handyman. Blind men saying, I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.